He's the criminal's worst nightmare. A cop who enjoys the danger.
No guns, no jiu-jitsu, just bring him down.
Do you really want to jump?
Well, then that's fine with me. Come on.
Wait, what do you mean? Wait a minute. What the...
He was ready to retire. Now, he's gonna wish he had.
Raj, meet your new partner.
New partner?
Oh, too old for this. Don't kill anybody.
Suppose we better register you as a lethal weapon.
You ever met anybody you didn't kill?
Well, I haven't killed you yet.
Lethal Weapon!
Lethal Weapon!
Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, my name is, it's David Bell.
No, yeah, I think that's right. My name's Tom Ryman.
And welcome to Worst Cops Ever,
mm-hmm.
The show that has an intro?
This is it.
Okay.
This is the intro. The intro, okay. I think, is officially us not knowing what the intro is.
Yeah, I think that's our brand now.
Yeah.
That's
well,
okay.
Definitely for
I'm
this
okay
show.
Yeah, guys, this is this was produced by one of our Patreon subscribers, John Ryman.
Sure was.
John, little John,
mm-hmm.
Johnny,
mm-hmm.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving this to the world.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for giving
yeah.
this to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're not familiar, we're on our third episode. This
yes.
is a this is a podcast miniseries where we've been watching the Lethal Weapon films
mm-hmm.
and kind of determining how many times they should have been fired.
Right,
or
this is,
put in jail.
Yeah, or, I don't know, deported, executed. There's a lot on the table.
Yeah, all options are open.
Yeah. This is sort of like a sister podcast of Fox Mulder is a Maniac, because we're really just looking at the Lethal Weapon movies to try to determine exactly how terrible Riggs and Murtaugh are at their jobs of being policemen. And the answer is pretty goddamn terrible.
Yeah. The answer is pretty goddamn terrible.
It's
guys,
been,
we're...
It's been escalating from movie to movie.
It sure has, Tom, because we are up to Lethal Weapon 3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it might be important that we go into this with a little bit of detail. This movie...
You think so?
Rewatching it, there were moments that I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this. But I think for most people, right... That you've probably seen the first one,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably it, right? Like,
I honestly
the average
don't know.
Person?
I don't know what the average person's experience is with Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
I am not the person to ask.
Yes. I will say, I haven't rewatched the fourth one yet, but of course we will be.
It's going to be a real treat, I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah, I'm going to say I really like this movie. I really enjoy it. I think I like it more than the second one.
It's definitely more bonkers. That's
yes,
for sure.
I got a lot more out of it. I like the dog stuff.
Yeah. Sure.
I like adding a lady. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that lady, they don't Rene Russo, they mm-hmm. don't like make her be naked. They actually, there's a lot of dude skin in this.
Both of our heroes, a whole lot of Mel Gibson.
And Danny Glover,
that's true.
Yeah, it's...
We come precariously close to seeing Danny Glover's dick for the second time.
We sure do.
In the
we'll
same situation. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we reprise the bathtub with mm-hmm. your family scene. But yeah, I don't know. I liked how they treated Rene Russo's character.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, she's like... She's just sort of a badass that Mel Gibson throws himself at all half naked and shit.
Right. Like Mel Gibson is kind of like occupying the role that's traditionally written for women in this.
Yeah. He like sexily gets down to his underwear.
Well, and he's like all about her.
Yes.
Like he's like he's telling her, I love you in the ambulance and shit. We're going to talk about that.
Yes. Yeah. She really takes on a lot of hero world. It's that she's like, all damaged at the end with someone fawning over her. So that's cool. That I don't know. In terms of, I mean, let's get into it. We should probably get into, where would you rank this, by the way?
Among the Lethal Weapons?
Yeah.
Number 3.
Like your third favorite?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. That's fair. I was surprised that this is Richard Donner again.
He does all of them.
Yeah, that shocks me. I find that shocking.
Really?
I don't know. I'm glad he does them all. It's just I often forget that, you know, when you get into number 3, a lot of the times the director is like, you know what, I'm good.
Yeah, it's Jeffrey Boehm again, too, as the screenwriter and story writer. I mean, I think there's 3 credited screenwriters, but Boehm is one of the screenwriters. He's also the story writer.
Okay. All right. So this movie, man.
Yeah, well, this movie is about Murtaugh is finally going to retire. Okay.
He sure is.
He's finally going to retire. He's got one goddamn week left.
Yeah.
And he just can't stop Riggs from being a lunatic.
This movie opens hard.
Oh, it does. Opens. Well, let's get to the plot first, and then let's go.
Okay.
That's how the show works, is we do a plot breakdown, and then we break down each individual scene and decision they make and explain why it's wild and bonkers and should land them in prison.
I'm almost skipping over the general plot, because it's... it's a weird one. All right,
it's pretty straightforward, honestly.
All right, take me through it.
Okay, so basically, Riggs and Murtaugh run afoul of these two guys who are carrying very sophisticated weaponry, and they find out that they've gotten the sophisticated weaponry from this ex-cop Jack Travis, who's played by Stuart Wilson. And he's Travis is very much like Dennis Hopper in Speed, where that like. He left the police department like in disgust and is like very bitter about the police department. So he's figured out a way to break into a secure police facility where they store confiscated weaponry and drugs and money and stuff. And he steals that stuff and sells it to street gangs in Los Angeles in exchange for money that he's using to build a housing development.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
I got very confused.
Well, look, it's Richard Donner, right? So, like, Travis's plot is very Lex Luthor from the first Superman movie.
I got very confused about a few things, and I'll start with his side is because there's a scene early on where the armored truck thief who gets away, and we'll get to why he gets away.
We sure will.
He goes to the construction site. And he's like, "Sorry, boss." You know, that kind of moment.
Not even. He's just working there. That's where he works.
Oh, right.
Travis approaches him. And he's like, "Hey, Smitty, you ripped off an armored car without telling me you were going to do that. Why'd you do that?"
Right. Like, and then he drowns him in cement.
He sure does. Like that bat gremlin in Gremlins 2.
Yes. What I found interesting about that is that it is in broad daylight during a crowded construction site of a neighborhood.
It's they're not in a neighborhood. They're constructing a neighborhood, but like his
No. It's only construction people there.
Right, but they all work for Travis.
I know.
Like they're all ex-cons that he's hired.
That's what I need to get into.
Okay.
Because the construction workers help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's just a thing that happens. And so it means that they're all criminals but also trained construction workers. Does he hire from the outside? What is that like?
There's like a line.
What is it like working on that in that construction yard? It's a very odd criminal enterprise, is what I'm getting at.
Well, he sets up. There's a bit of dialogue later on where it establishes that I forget the name of his. It's Mesa Verde is the neighborhood. I forget the name of the construction company, but there's a line later on where they talk about that. That construction company has been like funding work release programs for ex-cons.
Right.
So basically Travis is boosting guys out of jail with the understanding of like, hey, yeah, I'll get you out of jail so you can help me build this community. But you're going to have to do some crime shit for me too.
It reminds me of the foot in Ninja Turtles.
Sure.
Where it's like, oh, we got this hangout and we play video games and, you know, we can smoke all the cigarettes we want and party, but and we'll go out and rob people. But every now and then a guy dressed as a samurai is going to come out and tell you to kill turtles.
Right. A guy dressed also, like a knife is going to tell you to kill turtles.
It's a weird sell. It's like, do you know construction stuff? Okay, good. How are you on also like gun running? You're interested in that too? Like, I guess they could train them. They're probably more stressing the interest in crimes.
Right. I think, well, kind of the point of construction is it's not really specialized.
Yeah. It's sort of, though.
It's,
like,
you know, it sort of is, but like it
there's has, some there's yeah. some stuff. There was some equipment there that people would have to train.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, like forklifts and backhoes and all that shit.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get certified.
Yeah, you
got
to get certified
shit.
To drive any of those machines for sure. But yeah, so you're right. Like, five guys participate in that dude's murder.
Yeah, they're just it's just a day at work.
Yep.
It's just it seems like a stressful work environment.
I mean, I don't know. They all seem pretty happy. I guess it's just the one dude who decided to pull his own crime job.
Yeah.
As long
I hope
as you don't
got
try
good
to pull
benefits.
Your, yeah, maybe they do. I don't know.
I don't know. I just, yeah.
I assume seems he pays like them under the table. I don't think he's cutting too many paychecks.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe he is.
God,
I don't know.
Yeah, their taxes must be a nightmare. But yeah. So that's the bad guy. And as you're saying, Murtaugh is he's 1 week from retirement.
Yep.
They get, for reasons that we don't have to go into quite yet, put out as demoted to patrol cops.
And they sure do.
Yep. And they encounter the armored truck robbery, right?
Yeah.
And from there they run into Renee Russo. That's where we get her, right?
Yeah, she's a internal affairs investigating the theft of shit from the police impound.
Right. And Joe Pesci's there.
Yeah, Joe Pesci's there.
Okay. Yeah, Joe Pesci, Leo Getz is selling Murtaugh's house.
He's a realtor. He's a realtor now.
Yeah.
We will discuss.
He sure
this.
Is. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot there. So somehow, this is where, like, I don't want to get too much into the problems, but, like, where they get from A to B, the broad strokes here, I have questions about, too.
Well, I mean, like, we just need to kind of breeze through the plot. Like, I feel like your broad stroke questions are going to be the meat of what the fuck are these cops doing.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So what happens next?
Where did we leave off? They uncover Travis's plot. They find out about Mesa Verde, and then they storm Mesa Verde and kill everyone.
Okay.
End
that
of
is the
movie.
Plot. And during it, Mel Gibson and Rene Russo get a... there's some more plot stuff that I want to talk about.
Okay.
They get romantically entangled.
Yep.
But also, my favorite subplot is Murtaugh shoots a kid.
He sure does.
Who
he
happens to be a friend of his son's.
Mm-hmm.
And it really fucks him up.
It about ruins him. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was also part of what I really liked about this is they sort of, they show that, like, the kids on the street, the gang members, are peers with his son. They're just kids.
Yeah.
And Murtaugh is really fucked up about that. He doesn't blame the kid. He's just frustrated. I thought that was a great dynamic. They didn't have to do that shit. They didn't need to show a cop shoot a child or a teenager and then get drunk on a boat for a day and, like,
2 days
fall apart.
We'll talk
like
about
that's
that.
Not yeah that's not something I expected in the Lethal Weapon, you know.
Yeah, no, that's
so
fair.
that was neat. That was a really cool subplot. His son gets over it very fast, so I guess he didn't know him that well. I don't know. He helps his son shave and everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they go to the funeral and the son's mom is pissed at him. Like, they don't take him off the hook for it.
No, she gives
They're
him
like,
the Chief
yeah,
Brody
this,
slap.
Yeah, she gives him one of them. Yeah, she gives him an old Kittner
slap.
Old
Mrs. Kittner slap.
Yeah. So, like, it's it's oddly complex for a Lethal Weapon film.
He's got Murtaugh has a good arc.
Yeah, it's funny because they don't have trouble shooting anybody else.
They bring that up. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, it's a neat like theme without, because there's also the young cop who gets shot too, mm-hmm. and they bring that back,
yeah.
which we will also get to.
We sure will.
So yeah, I guess that's what I liked about this movie, is why I put it above the second one, is it had some very unique themes that I didn't expect
had something to say that part two didn't.
Yeah, it did, and I appreciated that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's the plot, right?
Pretty much, yeah. It's not that complicated.
No, none of them are that complicated.
No, it's just a bad guy doing a bad thing. Riggs and Murtaugh uncover it. They track him down and kill him. That's the plot of every single Lethal Weapon movie.
And they always get kind of thrown into it.
Do any investigating.
No, but like the initial crime is always like oh, there's an armored truck robbery happening across the street, mm-hmm. and that happens to uncover an entire criminal organization.
Boy, does it.
Yeah, it sure does. A real weird one. You want to? So let's dive into this.
Shall we get into the meat? To the meat?
Yeah.
Shall we sink our teeth into the meat?
I guess I want to mention one final thing.
Sure.
Which isn't okay. It might be the low key best moment of this movie.
Okay.
Folks, if you ever want to see Danny Glover kill a man with a throwing hatchet, this is your film.
It's a hammer.
It's a hammer.
It's
You're
a
right.
claw hammer.
It's a claw hammer. The claw part is what gets the guy. Mm-hmm. It is spectacular.
That's some precise bullshit.
Yeah, like, it's one of those. He's like suddenly has a superpower for
right,
one
he's
part.
Like, he's like a carnival performer.
Yeah, it's just like, damn. Danny Glover, it's just not something I'd expect to see him do. He's prying open an ammo box with this construction hammer, and a guy runs up, and he just casually whips the thing at him, and the movie moves on as if that didn't just happen.
Right.
The movie's just like, yeah, and he kills him by throwing the hammer.
As
anyway,
it,
so
as
he
if
opens
it wasn't
the ammo
incredible
box.
Incredible that he managed to throw the hammer so that the claw part pierced that guy's heart and killed him instantly.
It's like, way to bury the fucking lead here.
Like, that's
movie?
Incredible. You're Hawkeye.
Yeah, he's fucking Hawkeye.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a thing. Like, why
it's
doesn't
amazing.
He do that all the time?
Just carry a sack of hammers with him everywhere he goes. Just
100%.
Whipping them into people.
Yeah. Because the movie likes to show him as being inept, like the high kicking scene. But motherfucker can throw a hammer like it's nobody's business. He's just. Is amazing. It's the most amazing thing I've seen.
It
like
truly,
today.
It was absolutely a spectacle of human ability.
Yeah. All right. I feel like I got that out.
No. I appreciate that you did. Yeah, it's something that deserved to be highlighted, and I'm glad we discussed it.
Yeah.
Let's get into worst cops ever.
All right, so they blow up a building.
They sure do. Well, I want to... So they walk up onto the scene, and the cops tell them, like, Riggs identifies himself as Homicide, and they're like, Homicide, what the hell are you guys doing here? There's nobody's dead, and Riggs says, well, the night is young, which means that he's still killing people on the reg.
Of course. Of course he is. Yeah, this is a bomb. It's a bomb scare. Someone called in a bomb scare on a...
Yes.
What? Was this a hospital? It was...
I don't know. It looked like it was like near the convention center in downtown LA. I don't know what it was supposed to be.
It had kind of that... Yeah.
But he basically bullies his way inside the building.
Yep. Yeah, Danny Glover's like, hey, we should wait for the bomb squad. And
Yeah, you really should.
Yeah,
like
they don't.
You have no business fucking with this bomb, and Riggs just marches inside.
Right. And I thought what was going to happen was, in true Lethal Weapon fashion, it was going to be like us talking about how they shouldn't have done this, but I guess the ends justified the means because they stopped the bomb. That's not what happens.
Mm-mm. No.
They get in there.
Yeah.
Riggs starts, it's the bomb's in a car. He starts opening the doors and it's like, mm-mm, don't do that. Why are you doing that? Why are you touching it?
Why is anyone allowing him to do this? He has no business fucking with this bomb.
No, absolute no business. And then he just says like he wants to cut a wire on a hunch.
After he says the line, this is a pretty shonky job. What the hell word is shonky?
It's I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know, man.
What's happening inside your brain?
He also suggests them driving the bomb away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, from the evacuated building? You want to make the bomb mobile?
You're going to drive the bomb into downtown Los Angeles? That's your solution?
Instead, he chooses a wire to cut, cuts it, and it makes the bomb go faster. The bomb has like 10 minutes left.
They're in there. It's got like 8 minutes. He cuts the wrong wire. Yeah. It accelerates the timer. So they just have to run. And it blows up the entire building, and it levels like an entire city block.
It's
like 9/11.
I was going to say Oklahoma City, but
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
probably more apt.
People died.
You can't level a building that size in the middle of a crowded urban like population center and not kill people. I don't care if there was nobody in the building. Somebody died when you did that.
Somebody died. Or they got like the fumes, like something.
Yeah, you breathed in like the dust from all the collapsed masonry and stone and shit.
He causes a mini 9/11. Like,
for no decipherable reason does he do this. Like, he just, he begins it by insisting there's no bomb in the building. He's just like, I'm just going to go take a look. There's no bomb in there. And then they find a fucking gigantic bomb. And he's like, well, I'll just cut a random one. Like, what are you doing?
Yep. Millions of dollars demolished, too, on top of the lives.
Oh, yeah.
And so then he looks over at the cops. The bomb squad shows up with plenty of time.
Oh, yeah. They show up almost immediately.
Yep. And he has just destroyed a building. Possibly killed people. We don't know. The building just collapsed. Maybe people should check it, like look into it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other cops sarcastically clap.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this on previous episodes. These movies take place in a dystopian reality where cops are not accountable.
Right, where like domestic terrorism gets greeted with sarcastic clap. Gets greeted with sassy clapping.
I should note that that's sort of the world we already live in, but like, to like an even worse extent, because they're not like, oh my God, that building fell down. We need to get people here. Let's scatter. Let's panic. No, they're just like, another day with Riggs. Like, they're just so casual.
Yeah, it's wild.
And then they show that they get demoted to patrol.
They get demoted to patrolman. I'm like, they should be in prison.
Yeah, they should be in Guantanamo. Yeah. Like they just blew up a building,
like
for no reason.
And they're bitching about being patrolmen. You're fucking lucky you're walking a beat.
Yeah, they don't care though because. The next thing they do is...
Oh, my goodness.
Just as bad.
So Riggs spots a guy jaywalking, which, whatever, but Riggs is like, hey! And, like, runs over to him and starts trying to write him a ticket, and neither one of them can remember how to write a ticket, and the guy's being really impatient and indignant, because of course he is, because he's about to get ticketed for jaywalking.
Right, and Riggs is telling him to, like, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. And I was writing that down at first, like, oh, well, that's not proper of him.
Oh, yeah, you know, you wasted ink on that shit, because he pulls out his gun.
Yes, and he points it to him, and he says, let's make it look like a suicide.
Yep.
Riggs pulls out his gun on a jaywalker, threatens to kill him, and lets him run away. Then what do they do, Tom?
They laugh about it because Murtaugh was playing into it. He was like, run before my partner shoots you. And then they just laugh about it.
They laugh about
it. Like, I mentioned this in the last episode. Murtaugh may low-key be the worst part of this duo because he sanctions and allows everything that Riggs does. He allowed Riggs to walk into that building and detonate that bomb.
Yeah. Horrifying things. Also, at this rate, because as we noted, these movies, they get crazier and crazier every movie,
to the point where the score of this film is literally Looney Tunes. Like I mentioned in the last episode that Lethal Weapon 2 begins with like the Looney Tunes theme. If you listen to the score in this movie, it's like very zany.
It is. And it's weird because they want us to they want us to think that their mental health is getting better. Like, they want us to think Riggs is getting better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, quitting smoking. He's fixing up his trailer. He's in a relationship. But if you just look at his actions,
he's the same dude getting worse.
He is spiraling.
Yeah.
It is... Someone needs to step in. Unfortunately, the person that needs to step in ends up having sex with Riggs.
Yeah, and then there's also Murtaugh, who should probably step in, but checked out. He's like in the last week before he retires.
He's got a week to retirement, yeah. But so just to be clear, they have now, it's like 15 minutes into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They have blown up a building and pulled a gun on the man in broad daylight. And that's
a guy who they're writing a citation for. Like
citation.
They're giving him a ticket, and then he pulls a gun out.
For jaywalking.
Yeah, for jaywalking.
Jesus.
Then they spot the armored car thieves and get into a big armored car chase.
Yeah, with one of my favorite characters, the woman who wants to give Murtaugh a handy while they're
right,
in the chase.
Right, this woman, Dolores, the armored truck driver, is so horny for Murtaugh.
Yeah, she is. And you can't blame her.
No, he's Danny Glover, man.
It's Danny Glover. It's a weird addition, but I like it.
Black hole of sexual thunder. Like it's you just
true.
Get drawn in.
Oh yeah, nobody can resist that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That lady, she you can't blame her. You can't blame her. They're in the middle of a car chase and she can't take her eyes off of him.
Mm-hmm.
So the car chase happens. The next notes I have has to do with the house and Leo.
Oh, well, you're skipping out an important thing because you were talking about how the guy who gets drowned in cement got away. And he got away for
yes!
a very specific reason.
Yes!
And it's because Riggs throws him out of the armored car.
And then no one does anything to get him.
Nobody pulls over to arrest him. They just throw him out onto the fucking highway.
Yeah, and he presumably just gets up, looks around, shrugs and leaves
and just runs. Yeah,
he's their only not their only suspect, but I almost feel like we're beyond talking about this, but like obviously the armored car chase is not how you conduct yourself as a cop. You don't use the second armored car to try to ram the first one off the highway with civilians.
And we've discussed this before, but they're beyond attempting to arrest people. Like, Riggs got so frustrated with the activity of trying to write a ticket that he pulled his gun out.
Yeah. So when Riggs threw that man out, he just assumed his partner was going to run him
over. He thought he was going to die. He's like, there's one guy.
Yep. Done. My work here is done. I've murdered a man. No need to worry about him. Someone will pick up that body eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will find it.
Sure.
The body I just threw on the highway.
I mean, it's in the middle of a busy highway in Los Angeles. Somebody's going to find it.
Yeah. And why wouldn't he expect that? They're so reckless that, someone's going to clean up your mess, Riggs. You're right.
They probably have a specific task force for cleaning up all the bodies that they leave behind.
Oh, 100%.
At this point.
Yeah. Well, apparently not, because this guy just got up. They don't even show him recovering.
No, they do. They show him landing, and then he kind of almost gets hit by a car, but doesn't, and then he scrambles to his feet.
Oh, okay. So he does get to his feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they show him get away in, like, he just lets the guy go.
Yeah. In his defense, he thought that guy was going to die.
That's true.
He thought he'd killed him.
So he was just a bad murderer.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about Leo in the house.
Okay. Leo's trying to sell the house. He's not doing a great job at it. He says he's legally obligated to talk about the crimes in the house.
Yeah, full disclosure.
Yeah, he's not selling it. That's the real problem, is he's very casually.
Well, the real problem is that he was a criminal informant who is somehow now both a realtor and a family friend.
Okay, yeah, that is a
that's the real problem. Also, well, the other real problem is that he is on a fucking mountain of coke all the time.
Oh, of course he is. Look at that hair.
Yeah, he's got this bleached blonde buzz cut and an earring. He's
a real piece of work.
He's out of control in this movie.
Yeah. But I think the reason, because the thing that struck me is Murtaugh is like yelling at him for not doing more illegal things.
Yes.
He's just like, no, lie to them. Don't tell them. And then when he's like, did you get a permit for that garage? And he's like, why, yada. And he's like, ah, no biggie. I'll go fake the permits. And he's like, yeah, you better.
Yep.
And that's it. Like, that's why he's hanging out, is because the family decided they needed a scumbag.
They can use him. Yeah. Thank you. That's right. Yeah, they can use him.
Yeah, he's their family. They use him later. They're like, go check out, find out this address or whatever.
Leo does all of the investigation in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they just outsource it to a civilian.
Also, why is Murtaugh and his family and Riggs hiding in the house while Leo is showing it? Just fucking leave.
Or
go to
just
lunch
say
or something.
Hi.
Or yeah,
we
like
live
just
here.
Be like, hey, yeah, we live here. We'll get out of your way. And like, you leave the house. You don't need to fucking hide. Like, what is this?
Yeah. Have they never like I've moved out of apartments where the landlord's showing the place while I'm still there.
Yeah.
You just sit and keep watching TV and say, hey, you don't have to do a thing.
Riggs and Murtaugh are just so used to having Leo do crimes for them that they think they have to hide.
Right. Yeah, they don't want any heat.
How many crimes has Leo done for them? We're going to circle back around to that in a second.
Okay. He's definitely doing their taxes, and he's not doing them great.
He's 100% doing their taxes.
Yeah. In exchange, basically, they keep him like a pet, occasionally abuse him, mm-hmm. and also it's extortion. He wants to get excitement, and in exchange, they also don't arrest him for his many crimes.
Mm-mm. He's committing what? Half of them for them, so why would they?
Well, yeah, exactly.
There's a
That's what
there's,
I mean.
There's
it's
a major
like,
one we're going to get to in a minute.
Okay. The next thing I just want to talk about is the film crew scene.
Yes.
I was on Riggs' side at first. Riggs sees Murtaugh's daughter
yes.
with a gun to her head.
Correct.
And he runs in and tackles the gunman, mm-hmm. as you would.
Yes.
And then they're like, oh, you idiot. It's a film shoot. And it's like, well, put up some goddamn signs then, you jackasses.
Right. Like, cordon off the area and, like, yeah, put sign. Like, every shoot has these big ass signs up.
Uh huh. There has been real stories of cops coming to film shoots because they didn't properly. You know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
tell everybody. And yeah, it's like, yeah, you see a motherfucker with a gun. You're going to assume that that's real. You're not going to be like, but I should check to make sure it's a film set. Riggs takes all that back when he punches the director.
Well, I want to point out that, and it's something we haven't really mentioned yet, but it's a pretty solid through line for Riggs. When he leaps through the air to tackle the guy that is supposedly holding Rianne hostage, he makes a straight up Tasmanian devil sound.
Yes.
And
he's Wolverine.
He does that. Like, he just makes Taz noises. Like,
yeah, you don't want to be chased by Riggs.
Oh,
he's a boogeyman.
He's like a werewolf.
When he goes after the main villain at the end, he goes like, I'll eat your fucking heart out. And it's like, Jesus, Riggs.
Oh,
I think he might do that.
He says another incredible thing.
Which one?
I'll suck your brains out through your nose.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
He's a horrifying, unhinged maniac with a gun. And yeah, he's literally like growling.
Yeah. He's making Taz noises.
Yeah.
He beats the shit out of the director after he and Murtaugh identify themselves as policemen.
Uh-huh, sure. And then he, the guy starts pushing at him, and it's like, well, arrest him. Arrest him.
Right, because that's unnecessary.
Yeah, and that's what a normal, this is the thing, they beat the guy up, and then they extort him. They do a lot of extortion in this, where they're like, you're not going to fire my daughter after all, because that's what the fight's about.
Yes.
And then they casually say, we got you your job and a pay raise.
Yeah, that's extortion. They're essentially running a protection racket.
Yeah. They could, I'd still be complaining about this, but like a normal way of being a maniac is they would pretend to arrest the guy, and their guy could be like, is there anything can we work something out? And they'd be like, well, now that you mention it, but it's not that elegant. It's just, we're going to beat you to death or you do what we say.
It's not even really that serious. It's like Riggs just keeps slapping him.
Yeah.
Like palm slapping. It's a rough slap, but.
Yeah, he gives him a punch.
He's just
the first
swatting
punch.
Him around like a bear. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's assault. And is this before or after he starts eating dog treats?
It's right now.
Okay.
He's eating dog biscuits now to cure his cigarette addiction. Just eating dog biscuits.
Throughout the film.
Just throughout the movie. It's a through line through the movie. He's eating dog biscuits like they're Ruffles.
I hate to blame this character, but there's someone who needs to be blamed, and I feel bad. It's this cop shrink. She shouldn't be a cop shrink because she's clearly not doing her job. Every time we see her, she's just like, excuse me, talk to him?
They all dismiss her. Like the captain dismisses her, yeah. Riggs and Murtaugh dismiss her. Like it's like she can't do anything if they won't agree to see her.
Right.
And like if the captain won't force them to see her, then it's like
she's emotionally beaten down.
Oh yeah.
She needs to go to her own cop shrink.
Right. She needs to go to her own cop shrink.
But she like again, it's the she needs to tell somebody. She needs to say, "Okay, there's a big problem. I've been watching this cop who has been a suicide risk, who has fired his gun way too many times, who's murdered a lot of people. We get complaints of him pointing his gun at people on the streets. And now I'm just seeing him casually eating dog food in the office. He's unhinged.
Yes, there is something wrong with him.
There's something like very wrong with him at this point.
Like
it's
deeply,
overtly
unsettlingly
wrong
with him.
Yeah.
And he's still on the street.
Yep.
Carrying a weapon.
And they, to the point that, this is a key moment, is that, so they're in, they're in the goddamn locker room, the cop locker room, taking their cop showers or whatever, whatever cops do.
Yeah.
And Murtaugh accidentally fires his gun.
He does.
And Riggs covers for him. How does he cover for him? He starts beating up the lockers, screaming and acting unhinged to take the heat off of Murtaugh. And everybody just goes, oh, okay, it's Riggs.
Yeah, it's just
and
Riggs.
They go back to it.
Yep.
It means that they heard a gunshot, saw Riggs doing Looney Tunes stuff, and was like, oh, okay, it's the normal gunshot stuff.
Right, it's just the regular noises we hear down here.
Yeah, he's not saying like, oh, I accidentally shot my gun. He's like, yeah, I shot my fucking gun. What's of it? I'm crazy.
No, he didn't say that.
Well, no, but that's what he's implying. Like, they heard a gunshot.
No, he's not. He's implying that the sound they heard was him punching the lockers because they come down and say, we heard a gunshot. He's like, what gunshot? You need to check your ears. It's me kicking these lockers and screaming like a lunatic.
Okay.
It's me transforming into a werewolf.
Yeah.
So they ride in the elevator with Rene Russo, who is from Internal Affairs, and Mel Gibson spots that she's from Internal Affairs and starts going into this gag where he's like whispering loudly enough for her to hear to Murtaugh about like his Swiss bank accounts and how he's got $5 million in it. And then he's like, well, it's a good thing you were able to get that money from those drug dealers. And then Murtaugh's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, no, it's fine. You laundered it. And she's like, you know, her ears are perking up and she's listening to it the whole time. The thing I wanted to point out, and this connects back to Leo doing crimes for them, is that Murtaugh doesn't realize they're joking until Riggs mentions the drug dealers, which means that Murtaugh has a Swiss bank account with $5 million in it.
100%. It really confused me because I thought he knew what the joke was.
Sure didn't.
So it does mean that.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what it means.
It means that Murtaugh, Like Riggs is the crooked cop in the sense that he'll beat people on the street. Murtaugh is the crooked cop in the sense that he's just quietly stealing money and just putting it in an offshore account, huh?
Yeah, apparently.
He's a millionaire.
Multimillionaire.
Multimillionaire.
Riggs straight up almost grabs Lorna's chest after she says, "Are you wearing a vest?" He's like, "Are you wearing a vest?" And he like reaches for her, and Murtaugh has to physically restrain him.
He grabs him like a rabid dog.
Yes.
And when they're in the elevator, Riggs looks like he wants to kill her.
Yep.
He's so aggressive towards her when they first meet. He's frightening.
Riggs is always, that's his default setting.
Yeah. And okay, this is where we get into the broad strokes, because this is where we meet the villain. So what happened is they detained one of the people from the armored truck,
mm-hmm.
and they have him in their little room.
Sure do.
And the villain comes in. I'm not certain how he gets. Does he use an old cop badge? Is that the idea?
Yes. Yeah, he has old credentials.
Okay. And he goes in and he shoots the guy and he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and they look at the security camera and they're like, oh, there he is. We know him now. We know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Movie over?
This is
my question. They know who the bad guy is, have video proof of him doing it. He runs a construction company.
Yeah, just go arrest him.
Yeah. Just go arrest him, right?
But
the movie continues for like another hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
What? Am I missing something?
No, they just never... The Lethal Weapon movies, the only two police officers in Los Angeles are Riggs and Murtaugh.
Yeah, because, I mean, they've gotten around this for the first movie, I believe they just couldn't tie it to the guy, right? And then the second one, it's diplomatic immunity.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, there's no reason.
I think the conceit is that they don't know where he is. And there's about four major things in this scene that I need to bring up.
Okay. I'm going to keep talking about this, though, because they so know where he is.
Or
they must know. He runs a construction company.
They don't know that yet, though.
Yeah, but, like, do they not have... What has he been doing? Is he going by a different name?
I don't know. Like, they never established that, which is... Okay. There's several crazy things in this sequence. We'll start with this one. Is when they recognize who he is, the captain's like, I know that guy. That's Jack Travis. He's an ex-cop. And, like, Rene Russo points out, like, yeah, we had a lot of internal affairs files on him because he was always getting complained on for being violent and rough and everything. And, like, the captain kind of sticks up for him. Was like, yeah, but he's a tough guy. And then...
Yes, it...
Which speaks a lot for who the captain is and why
it
he
really
lets,
does. It explains
yeah,
everything.
It explains it. Yeah, it explains why Riggs and Murtaugh are still on the street. And then he says that Travis just walked away on a stakeout one night and they never saw him again. Like, really? Like, a cop can just leave and you never found him?
Right.
You didn't kind of like, you didn't try to go find him?
Right. And they're also like, yeah, he never came back. And it's like, I mean, do you think he got killed?
Yeah, like, what? Did you not investigate this at all? Did you go to his house and look for him?
What? Exactly. I don't want to skip ahead, but they find him at a hockey game mm-hmm. where he's just there.
Yeah, he's just there enjoying the hockey
game. He's living in Los Angeles enjoying his life.
Enjoying a Kings game. I think it's the
Kings. He's not hiding.
No, not really. Another thing. When Rene Russo reveals that internal affairs had installed cameras in the interrogation rooms 6 months ago without the police department knowing about it, because they were like, he blocked all the cameras. And she's like, well, not the one in the interrogation room. They're like, there is no one in the interrogation room. She's like, yes, there is. We put him in 6 months ago. The captain, Riggs, and Murtaugh are all just outraged that there's a camera in the interrogation room. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think we know what that means. I think we know, because we later see how they interrogate people
in
this movie.
We sure do.
And here's the thing about Rene Russo's character,
mm-hmm.
is you think the dynamic will be, oh, watch out, this lady is uptight. she's not going to let us do stuff.
Right. She's going to be like Walter Peck in Ghostbusters, but that's not at all what happens.
No, she, again, it's a dystopian world where she's just like, hi, I'm internal affairs. But yeah, we're going to torture people still. Like, that's what we do as cops. That's just cop stuff. Like, she is a monster as well.
She is just as bad as Riggs.
Yeah. She doesn't turn. It's not a like, oh, come on, guys, this isn't cool. No, it's like this is just regular procedure.
Yeah. It's business as usual. Yeah. They don't react to the fact that they walk into the interrogation room and the man has been shot to death. Like, they're like, Rene Russo just like sighs angrily and storms out, and Riggs and Murtaugh are just in there like, man, they shot him. Like, that's a fucking emergency. Somebody walked into the police station and shot a suspect in custody. Like, they should be sprinting down the hall shouting to anyone who can hear.
Yes. Before, here's the thing. Before he shows up on security camera, I was thinking, like, well, he checked in and out. You got to talk to those cops. He put his fingers on the man. There's fingerprints in that room on the doorknob. Mm-hmm. And they don't do, before they know who it is, they're just like, ah, geez. It's almost like they're like, ah, which one of you guys shot him? I know we shoot them a lot, but you got to get the information out of them first, you know?
It seems like Riggs and Murtaugh.
I know it's the classic.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just sort of like, I know it's the classic make it look like a suicide that we love to scream at jaywalkers.
He shot himself 5 times in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Riggs and Murtaugh and the captain seem to be content to just be like, I don't know, a ghost killed him. Who can say?
Yeah.
He glided in and out of here like a spirit. He's too smart for us. We'll never catch this guy.
It's bad. They're bad cops. It's a bad police station where a guy can just walk into an interrogation room. Even if he's using cop credentials, you'd think they'd still be like, why are you going
in
there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one last thing that needs to be brought up about this sequence is that when Riggs and Murtaugh are in the captain's office meeting with Rene Russo and her boss, they're like, no, absolutely not. We don't want these clowns on the case. And like, why? What are we required reading? And she's like, yeah, you are. Like, we know we have huge files on you guys. We know everything about you. So Internal Affairs keeps a very close eye on Riggs and Murtaugh and knows enough about their exploits to give them the nicknames Mayhem and Chaos.
Yeah, of course they do.
Why are they still on the street if Internal Affairs have a massive file on them?
Yeah, it's worth noting that in this scene, they are promoted again to detectives.
Yep. Well, I think sergeants.
Sergeants.
Yeah.
It's bonkers. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild.
Good God. Yeah, they have blown up a building in a week. A week ago, they blew up a building. And the internal affairs person's in there like, yeah, these guys are a problem. And the guy in charge is like, yeah, here's your badges. And it's like, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, fuck you, lady. I'm giving them their badges back. Get back out on the street, guys, and bust this guy. And they immediately go blow up another building.
Yeah, this is a scandal.
This is an enormous, this is like the Rampart scandal. Like, this is like a systemic, like embedded generations of corruption in this police department.
Yeah, this is a dirty, dirty police department. So instead of looking up an address or explaining why they can't find him, this is where they run into Leo.
Yeah. Well, they don't run into Leo. Leo just walks into the police station.
Oh, right.
Happens to see they're watching the security camera footage and says, oh, yeah, I know that guy. I know that. I met that guy at a crime party. I set him up with hockey tickets.
Yeah. Also, it should be noted at this point, Leo is treated like a cop.
Yes, he is.
He can just walk in. Later, when they're like, the cops roll up on the motorcycle accident, Leo just like rolls up with the cops in his car.
Yeah.
Like, he's a detective. And he's just like, hey, how's it going? No one stops him. It's just like, yeah, he's a cop now.
Well, they all understand. You don't mess with Leo. He's with Riggs and Murtaugh.
Yeah.
Leave him alone.
He's their crime pet.
Yeah, they're all terrified of Riggs and Murtaugh.
Yeah. So
they bring their friend with them to the hockey game to try and make an arrest, and Leo ends up getting shot.
They bring a civilian to a police, to an arrest, and the civilian is shot.
He sure is.
And again, they don't bring backup.
No, there's no other cops in the Lethal Weapon universe.
Yeah, they lose their guy because Riggs gets on the goddamn announcement speakers and says, hey, we're coming for you. They have every advantage. They know who he is.
They know what he looks like, yeah.
They know what he looks like. Mm-hmm. They could put out wanted things. They could put out APB. They could look into his background.
They could have
find
gotten,
out if
yeah.
what his relatives, if he's gotten any money from relatives. Mm-hmm. They don't look into him at all. They don't. That's the thing, is they don't even bother to see if he has an address.
Right. They don't even bother to do like the early 90s equivalent of Google his name. They just like, well, Leo yeah. says he likes hockey, so let's go to a hockey game and just maybe we'll trip over him.
Yep.
Like they could have gone gone there with like 10 patrolmen, like, you know, covering every exit.
Yeah. They forget their cops.
They never investigate.
By investigate we literally mean going up to a computer, typing in his name.
Yeah.
Well, there's like this police station, I mean, they lost him. He left a fucking stakeout. And they were just like, oh, guess he's gone forever.
Well, he's vanished into, he might be on fucking Saturn by now. We don't know where he went. Like,
it's so
like later on
crazy.
During the torture sequences where they're beating up guys to get information, like they forget to identify themselves as cops. Like one of the guys like,
yes.
Who are you guys? Oh, we mentioned that? Oh, we're LAPD. It's like, what? Like, what are you?
I don't want to skip ahead, but that torture, by the way, the only information they get is stuff they already know.
Yes.
They're just like, who's doing the guns? And they're like, what's the villain's name? It's Travis. And they're like, all right. And it's like, you know, it's Travis.
Yeah.
You already knew it was Travis. Why are you torturing these people? They get nothing new
really
from
don't.
Those interrogations.
Yeah. I love the one guy that's like, I don't know no Jack Travis. Well, I didn't say his name was Jack Travis. You already fucking know his name is Jack Travis. What are you getting from him?
Also, how do they track down Jack Travis?
Through Leo.
Leo just tells him about the construction
they
site?
They find out that Travis... Now I can't remember. It's they have Leo look into the realty company that Travis owns. And I think they... Maybe one of the guys they torture does give them that information that this realty company is hiring, is doing work release programs with ex-cons, but I can't remember.
Okay. But if Leo can look into a company that Travis owns, can't he just look into Travis?
Yeah. You'd
from
think.
The start?
You'd think.
Yeah.
But that's how they find the end. That's how they track him down. As Leo just like researches, like, oh yeah, they're building this community out there. And then they just go there and kill everyone.
I'm really stuck on this because the movie would be so much shorter because they basically go on a rampage.
That's what they always do.
I know. The difference is they know, okay, they don't need evidence. They don't need to tie it to the guy. There's no legal things they need to do. They just need to find the criminal. Mm-hmm. He is under arrest. He has done the bad thing.
We have him on tape murdering
a guy. And they go on an hour-long rampage just to end up going, I guess we could look him up.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
pretty much.
I can't stress that enough. I cannot stress it enough. We are not halfway through this movie.
Yeah, we got to get a move on. So after Leo gets shot, Riggs just bullies the doctor and takes Leo's chart and adds writes a bunch of unnecessary procedures on
it. They add a rectal exam just to be mean to him.
Yep.
It's baffling.
The next scene is when the shooting of Murtaugh's son's friend happens. They drive to Murtaugh's friend's burger stand so Murtaugh can cook Riggs a burger.
This also troubled me.
What the fuck are you guys doing? There's a murderer on the loose that you should be looking for.
It's also just weird.
It's very strange, yeah.
It's just like Danny Glover jumping in the back of this restaurant that they haven't established, like, I'm going to make you a burger. And the guy running in is like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, we've never seen this character before, and we never see him again.
Yeah, it's real weird. But yeah, they know who he is. They know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
They know who he is. But then he ends up shooting the...
Yeah, they...
Riggs sees
they see
a
like
group
a,
of...
Riggs spots like a deal going down, and he tries to arrest them. They shoot at him.
Yeah, I think it should be noted, is a deal going down... Is there a crime that he spots?
No, he just notices a bunch of suspicious looking black kids. That's really it.
That's what I had written down, is I'm pretty sure Riggs just sees young black kids and takes out his gun.
Yeah, and in pure Riggs fashion, he was right.
Yeah, yeah. But he had no reason to be right.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't want to do this. In Riggs' defense, like the way that scene looks with a bunch of guys crowded around a car and they're like handing things in and out of the car, that does look suspicious.
But yes, it's not your gun not suspicious.
Enough, yeah, not enough to roll up on and be like, "Hey, LAPD," with your gun already out.
Yes. I guess you could argue that maybe he recognized the car from earlier when he saw the friend.
They were just talking.
Yeah.
Oh, and he does notice that Nick's friend Daryl is wearing gang colors, but even so, standing around a car is not a crime.
Yep. It's Danny Glover spends the movie blaming himself for what happens.
Blame Riggs.
Because, yeah, he starts that gunfight.
Yeah, he does.
He points a fucking gun at them.
Sure
immediately.
Does. Yep, sure does.
Yep. I don't have much else for a little bit here.
Not for a while. I have written down that when Riggs and Rene Russo go to the body shop, they encounter both Billy Bedlam and LaFours.
Yeah, they sure do. That was real weird.
That was wild.
Is the body shop with the dog?
Yes, that's where the dog is.
All right, that's where I want to get to next, because they're doing so much infighting at this point, and the villain again. They know who he is. He's out enjoying hockey games. So they break into this body shop. How do they find out about the body shop? It's about phone records, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
They break in. They find a bunch of guys loading guns into a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys say, "We'll come back for the rest." So if you were a cop and there were just two of you,
mm-hmm.
and you encountered this, what would you do next?
You'd honestly probably try to make the arrest, right? Because you don't want them to get those guns out of the door. That's bad.
All right. If you're a movie cop,
you roll in and shoot everyone.
That's true. I guess try to make the arrest, but there's so many more of them than you.
Yeah,
I would call it in, and you know they'll be back.
That's
they
true.
They say, "We'll be back for the rest." And that's what I'm getting at. Instead, they just sort of,
well,
really fuck the dog.
Honestly,
they steal the dog.
Yeah. Honestly, you probably wouldn't roll up to this place that you're suspecting gun running to be going on with just two plainclothes officers.
Right. I think they didn't know there was gun running. They walked in, they encounter the dog, which is a delightful scene. And then they see what's happening. At that point, you would call for backup. They have tons of guns.
They know they're trying to track down stolen guns. It's the whole reason Rene Russo's involved.
Yeah. They have license plates that they could write down.
Sure.
They
vehicle
have
descriptions.
A warehouse. They never go back to that warehouse.
No, they don't. They never go back to any place.
No. They have a place with guns and criminals that they know is there. Maybe they'll get out of there in time, but they don't find out. They get into a gunfight and car chase.
Yeah. They subdue the criminals completely. They're all on the ground. And rather than reclaim their weapons and, hold them at gunpoint and arrest them, they jump in the truck and steal the guns.
Yeah,
it's maybe arrest these guys.
Yeah.
Also, in that dog scene, Riggs says, "I can't shoot a dog. People okay, but not dogs."
Yes, I wrote that down too. Is that Riggs has no problem shooting people?
Not at all.
But he draws the line at a gun.
I mean, we
and a dog.
We knew he didn't have a problem shooting people.
Yeah. Which
it's just
for
fun.
The sake
it's
of
just
this
fun
movie,
to hear
I'm
him
fine
say
with.
It out loud. Yeah. Sure.
Yes. Riggs is covered in bullet wounds.
He sure is. They have the Jaws scar scene where they have all apparently just been so terrible at being cops that they've all been stabbed and shot and dragged across concrete. It's like, what the fuck have you been up to?
That was what I wrote down, is if you're covered in that many gunshot wounds,
you're bad cop.
You might not be a good cop.
You're bad at
your job.
Riggs grabs Lorna and gives her a non-consensual kiss that he knows is not consensual, because he says, you're going to smack the shit out of me, aren't you?
That's true. He's like, oh, here comes the lawsuit.
I mean, she's into it, but like, he didn't know that.
Yeah, because that's the weird thing, is she seemed to be telegraphing that she was into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they were just going to do the thing where he grabs her and then they're into it. But then he's just like, so I fucked up, huh? And it was like, oh, you didn't think she was going to be into it, Riggs?
I think he was taking a chance, but like...
He was, but he didn't think his chances were very good, apparently. It's,
maybe don't do that.
Maybe don't do
it's
that,
It's always good
Mel
to
Gibson.
Ask. I mean, nobody's ever going to be mad at you for asking, Riggs.
It's true. It's true. I mean, yeah. In this movie, man...
So
he's already pulled his gun out on innocent people.
Oh, for sure.
It's a rampage.
Murtaugh has disappeared for 2 days at this point.
Yes, I wanted to point that out. Riggs is a shitty friend.
Yeah.
Murtaugh shot his son's friend, and Riggs is just like, nah, he's fine.
Murtaugh shot his kid's friend, didn't come home that night, didn't show up for work the following day, and Riggs hasn't even so much as tried to call him.
Right. Instead, he's having sex. Again, okay. They just encountered a building full of weapons and criminals that they fleed the scene of, mm-hmm. with the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just go back to Rene Russo's house and fuck.
Sure.
They don't call it in.
Nope.
They don't get backup. They're just like, we talked about this before, where in the second one where they're like chased by a helicopter.
Yeah.
And they get away. Yeah. And he just... drops her off at her house, like, well, it's been a fun evening.
Well, that was a wild night. Like, see you tomorrow. I was like, what are you doing? And it's the same in the first one when the helicopter shoots Tom Atkins. They're like, we'll never catch that helicopter. I think you might.
The crime is still going.
Yeah.
It's still happening.
Helicopters
just because
aren't hard to find, my man.
Yeah, they just give up so fast.
Just go home. Oh, I'm just going to go home.
They're cops. They don't act like they're cops.
No.
They don't use the cop resources at all.
Like,
because
gangsters.
As you've said, they're the only cops in LA,
yeah.
apparently.
They act like crime bosses.
They do.
So
then
there's a torture montage after the boat scene, but
yeah.
there wasn't anything really on the boat scene that I needed to talk about.
Yeah.
It's just them being friends. It's basically the Clerks 2 scene on the boat. Where Riggs is like, you're abandoning me. You're like, you're retiring. What the hell am I going to do? Like, my entire life is wrapped up in your life.
It's a nice scene. It's a good scene.
Yeah, it's not bad. But anyway, next we get to the torture montage. Where Rene Russo, the internal affairs officer, is helping them torture people.
Yes. She sure is. And again, they don't get any useful information that I remember out of it.
No, my favorite part is when they go to the place to talk to that one guy, the mechanic, and he's like, I don't know, no, Jack Travis. There's this group of guys that show up, the lead henchman of which looks like Stephen King.
Yes, I wrote down Stephen King henchman. He's in it for a while.
He's in it for a while. And he
Until
never
he gets
a
shot.
Name. He's credited as Henchman 3.
He should have been
Stephen King
henchman.
But Lorna, Rene Russo walks up to them and she's like, hey, you guys should like tell me what's going on here. And they're like, do you got a warrant? And she's like, no, but I can get one. They're like, well, then fuck off. And then she beats the shit out of all of them.
Yep. Well, Riggs watches with an erection. I'm guessing.
She beats them for asking if she has a warrant to be there.
Yep. She's an internal affairs officer.
Yep.
This is probably the most dated thing is in the sequence, is they do it twice. They make, like, woman jokes.
Yeah, where she says PMS is a bitch after she fucking wailed on all those dudes.
Yeah, and then when she's doing the, when they're holding a guy's head to a tire and threatening to skin his face with the moving tire.
She's behind the wheel!
she's behind the wheel, and that made me laugh out loud because it was like, I was waiting for a shot of her being like, what the fuck are you doing? You can't do this.
Nope.
And then they cut to her happily behind the wheel.
No, she's into it. Like, oh, she's,
yeah. And then they make a joke. They're like, oh, women drivers. Yeah, well, yeah, and it's like, all right, calm down.
The trick is that the car was in reverse, so it was never going to crush him. But yeah, then they make that joke, oh, women drivers. It's like, all right, man.
It's weird. It's very 90s. Both of those jokes are very 90s.
So now we're getting into the climax where Travis kidnaps the captain and uses him to get back into the police depot to steal crates of guns and ammunition.
The Travis is so casual and no
he
one
doesn't
is
even wear a
him.
Mask. Like he's just walking around like, here's my fucking face.
I feel like it feels like he was divorced and he was like, you know what? I don't give a fuck 100% anymore. I'm going to shoot a man in a police station.
Did you see his mustache? That's a mustache of a divorced man.
Yeah. What I'm saying is he thought he was going to die suicide by cop.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was sitting around and was like, they aren't coming to my house. I guess I'll go to this hockey game. And went to the hockey game and then was like, well, that was easy getting away. Oh. You know what? I'm just going to go to the police station and
keep
steal
trying
one of
my
them.
Luck.
Yeah.
My big question about, first of all, it shouldn't be so easy for Travis and his goons to just literally walk in, steal crates of guns and ammunition, and just walk out onto a subway. But the bigger point is that as he has the captain hostage and is leading him through there, like he's hiding in the back of the captain's car and the captain's like driving him into the depot and everything. He's like bragging about how easy it is to steal everything. It's like, yeah, it's like your own shopping center. You just come in and take whatever you want. But the only reason he's able to get in there is because he has the captain hostage. Like the captain's getting him in there. So how the hell did he do it before?
I like to think they're just like, man, that's like the fifth captain that got kidnapped this week.
Just kidnapping we should different look captains, into
that. Yeah. We just keep finding captains dead in a drainage ditch.
Yep, just police captains littering the side of Santa Monica Boulevard.
I do like that the villain knew the importance of hard hats.
Oh, yeah.
When they go into the depot, they both don hard hats, and he like insists upon it. He like puts one on the captain and
I
then
think
puts
that
one
was
on
to
himself.
Blend in.
Yeah, I like to think that safety first.
Yeah, safety first for sure. But they're pushing the guns and ammunition on a big hand cart. So it's like they kind of wanted to blend in with the construction guys.
But also not hurt their heads.
Correct. Also not get knocked on the noggin. I mean, you can't spend money from your stolen guns if you get brained by a loose piece of rock in a subway.
A subway under construction that the rail still has power.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't have power on that rail.
Definitely
shouldn't.
Seems like that's wildly dangerous.
Yeah, especially since we know the rail has power because someone gets thrown onto the rail and killed.
He sure does.
By the captain.
By the captain, yeah. The captain gets a kill in this movie.
That old bear had some fight in him.
Yep. Going to take more than that to bring down old bear.
Yep.
Riggs leaps on a subway train and forces the driver to speed to catch the bad guys.
He sure does. He uses a subway train for his gunfight. A subway train full of people, and he, commands the subway train speed up.
Teeming with people.
Yeah, before that, I want to talk about the young cop.
Oh, sure.
Because the young cop's just like, I want to do this. Let me in.
Seems
Let
like you guys
go.
Are into something. Really scrappy dudes his way into it.
He does, and it's like, they're just like, all right. Like, he's not supposed to be there. And they run out of the room, and I just love the shot, because it's like Mel Gibson, Danny Glover, Rene Russo, and some guy.
And I was just fucking like, guy.
Some red shirt. And it was just like, oh, you are a dead man. And he dies not like 5 minutes later.
Oh, yeah.
He is dead.
He gets shot immediately.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So the subway...
he chases him out onto the highway, which I'm pretty sure is the same highway that's under construction in Speed, because these were filmed close together.
I was thinking the same thing.
It's the 405, isn't it?
I think so. And they don't call any backup.
Nope, hell no. Why would they?
They just chase the truck.
Riggs grabs a traffic cop's motorcycle and tells him to call in what's happening.
Oh, right. Of course, that guy's going to call in is, some guy flashed me a badge and stole my bike.
Yeah, some ponytail
dickhead
stole my motorcycle.
So you might want to check in. Yeah. that's when Leo, I don't know, do you have anything for the, it's your usual car chase where it's, yeah, reckless endangerment.
Yep. And then, yeah, but Mel Gibson. Point,
that's quaint.
Tries to jump the gap. It's like very similar to the scene in Speed. He tries to jump the gap to follow Travis and he can't. His bike falls down and explodes. He falls through a bunch of shit. And that's when he says, I'm going to suck his eyes out through his nose.
Right.
But yeah, that's when Leo shows up.
Yep, with the cops, just like a cop.
And all of the information. He's like, yeah, they're at Mesa Verde. And they're like, well, let's go to Mesa Verde.
Yeah, and they're like, let's go to Mesa Verde. And then they don't go, hey, officers, come with us.
Yeah, it's just the, you're here? It's just the three of them.
Yep. It's just the two of them. And then Rene Russo shows up like, hey.
Oh, right.
I feel like they often get snuck up on a lot.
Yes, like their situational awareness is not great.
It's not great. They get constantly like gun click behind them moment, and then they have to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they call no backup. They know where the bad guy is. There's cops right in front of them, and they're like, "No, no." Here's okay. What are they worried the other cops will do? Why don't they want more cops?
They're worried that the other cops will stop them from murdering and stop them from stealing whatever contraband they find on the scene and giving to Leo to launder.
I think that's exactly what it is, right? Because they're not worried the cops will make a mess of things because that's what they do. They don't want witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's it. It's shockingly overt. Like, they're crooked cops. They're just crooked cops. We're watching crooked cops who are kind of good because they kill mostly bad guys.
Yeah, they're like the Punisher.
Yeah. They are, yeah.
It's like, well, they're like the
Punisher,
but
the
guys.
Punisher doesn't steal, does he? Does the Punisher... like,
how else do you think he funds his operation? I mean, he steals the money from the criminals, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Riggs and Murtaugh are like, they're like going dead by, it's like Red Dead Redemption with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're taking watches, they're probably prying out
Yeah, they're
teeth,
pulling teeth out,
teeth.
Yeah, taking shoes.
Yeah. And then they light the place on fire.
Yeah.
Stephen King henchman dies.
Everybody dies.
Yeah. I don't have too much for that because it's just fucking
right.
Holy,
it's just
you
the
know.
Full rampage. They murder everybody once again. They destroy all the ammo, which is the evidence, and they kill all of the suspects.
All the evidence. Yep, with nothing. They have nothing.
That's it.
And then Danny Glover, we get some Danny Glover skin. His weird fucked up family that has
right
bath celebrations.
Once again, he's sitting in his bathtub, and they come in just to give him a kick and look at his naked donger just floating in the tub. Yep. And then Leo comes in.
Yep.
So
it's real.
So glad this criminal informant became a close family friend who can just walk into the house and into the bathroom while you're bathing.
It's real, like, it's real twisted.
Kind of.
Like, it's when the inquiry happens.
The inevitable inquiry.
Yeah. It would be one of those news things where, like, it would keep unfolding,
mm-hmm.
and we'd be learning more and more weird, fucked up details about family bath time and their grifter friend who, like, you know, cooked the books for them.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's a whole fucking thing.
It would become a Netflix documentary series.
100%. It's fucking the Jinx, because the Jinx has that thing where it's like, and then he urinated a supermarket, and we don't know why he did that. Like, it has those weird details where
yeah,
it's
or
like
evil genius.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Yeah.
This is a fucking Netflix.
This is the prelude to a Netflix documentary series.
It is wild.
The last thing I have is that. Murtaugh decides at the end not to retire. He's like, no, I'm not going to retire. I'm going to work for 10 more years. Pretty sure you can't change your mind about retiring on the literal day of your retirement. It's a whole process. You have to fill out paperwork and shit and like change your tax status. Like, it's a whole thing.
That is a very good point. I don't think he can just
you can't
come
just be
in
like, psych!
To work
Mm-mm.
and be like, well, I'm here now.
Yep.
Or maybe he can, because the process of
nothing
promoting
matters
or demoting is just handing people badges. So I think he just has to be handed the badge again.
Sure,
right?
Yeah. You're off suspension. And then he's unretired. Captain tosses him a badge.
Yeah, that's it.
That's how it works in this universe.
My God.
There's one final note, actually, that we kind of skipped over at the very beginning. The opening credits of this is just like fire. Like liquid and fire to an Eric Clapton song. And I wrote down, I was like, is this the hell that Riggs and Murtaugh send their enemies to?
I was thinking of that too.
You're in
the
a lake
end,
of
the
fire
end,
listening to Eric Clapton.
Right. I was thinking that at the end because they pan up to the sky.
Yeah.
And I was waiting to see a bunch of angry ghosts looking down.
Yep.
Because you know they're haunted.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be haunted by Stephen King henchmen for the rest of their days.
Oh, 100%. Why would you get a henchman that looks like Stephen King? I love this is a product of like 80s and 90s where henchmen could be like dudes in their 50s who look like your uncle.
Yeah, dudes who look like customer service reps at CompUSA.
Yeah, I miss that.
So do I. Yeah. I long for those days. Let's bring back schlubby henchmen again.
Schlubby henchmen. Please.
I think that's a sode. I think we've done it.
Yeah. I think we did it.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for going on this adventure with us.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to John who made this all happen.
Yeah.
If you're interested in also making things happen, you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have many tiers, including exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Mm. We have tiers where you can let us watch movies, although I think that's filled up. We have tiers where you can produce your own movie. Or
your own
movie,
miniseries.
Your own miniseries.
Like podcast. This one. Only, and it doesn't have to be about movies. It can be about literally anything you want.
Yes. It also doesn't have to be public. I know that's weird, but you could, if you wanted, just like make us make a podcast about how cool you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep it for yourself.
You just get buried with it. You take it. Nobody else. That's just for you, man. It's just for you.
Mm-hmm.
If that's
just
what you want.
Just for you pervert. You
weirdo.
Yeah. So check those out.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can check out merchandise, t-shirts, stickers, prints, all kinds of stuff. We're always, well, not always, but pretty frequently adding new stuff. So, check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Check it out. Check us out.
Mm.
Check us out, our shit.
Mm. You know,
our delightful shit.
Just buy lots of our shit, and then our shit will come to your house, and it will become your shit.
Yep, you'll never get too old for our shit.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Mm.
Play us out, Eric Clapton. Play us out.